as yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
Oh, what was the substance found in Sylvester Stallone's bags? Today we're going to ask him and he's going to tell us, and if we can understand what he's saying, we'll know.
Fantastic. What did you hide in yourself to try and get on a plane?
What is overhyped? Is this Stella McCartney gear overhyped?
Yeah, who's running for office and how much cash are they going to get for it?
Who's challenging Ed Cavalli to a celebrity boxing match?
Oh, bring it on, Merslind.
No.
How much to bribe an officer? We haven't got to that yet. We will today.
That Stone Age beauty.
Oh.
I don't think we've been giving her enough kudos. We never got to her.
Stone Age makeover. Also, quotes from the Biggest Loser trainers. Are they too tough? Are they just awesome?
And don't forget the stars of Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. You've seen them in Shaun of the Dead. They'll be coming in to explain this mysterious crackling noise. I'm sure you can hear at home. Hey, it's all coming up on Get This Around the Nation on Triple M, where today Ed Cavalli has his act together.
You could ask him to do something, he wouldn't do it. But now he's like, ask him and he goes and does it. Sometimes he still has a bit of a spit about everything, but now it's not constant fighting with him to do just a little thing. So
that is rich.
That's big audio dynamite, assisted briefly by Peter Sellers there here at Get This on Triple M Around the Nation. It's it's the middle of the week.
Yeah, man.
That's cause for celebration. Myself, Tony Martin, Ed Cavalli's here. Oh, Richard Mars is pushing buttons. Looking presentable as always. A couple of issues on this show. Ed Cavalli's challenges and promises that are never lived up to.
Nah, well, hang on. Slowly but surely, I'm not going to knock them off the list.
Okay. Second issue. What is it with you and Galen from last year's Big Brother?
He's been riding me for months, you know what I'm saying?
What is going on?
Everywhere I turn, there's his little equine face, you know? There's the blonde locks and the blonde-tipped, white-shoed brigade that he hangs with.
How many times do you reckon you've just bumped into him in the street?
A week?
A week.
Yeah, probably four times a week.
Four times a week you bump into it?
Roughly.
Does he live near you? Is that what's going on?
There's a dumpster on the corner that they don't move very often. I often hear loud music coming out of there, so it might be there.
And now he goes to your gym, is that right?
Occasionally he's in the same gym as me.
And there's a guy there who even looks like, who's like
claiming to be him.
Sort of an acolyte
of he
Galen.
He is.
I don't know if you were watching community television in Melbourne last night.
I wasn't.
Channel 31.
One of the only nights that I wasn't. I feel like such a fool.
Matty Dow on the Pots and Pans, one of the geniuses behind the scenes here, was watching, and he caught a show called KO Boxing. Galen was on it.
You're kidding.
He's challenging anyone. He means anyone who has to be a celebrity, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Galen.
Yeah, yeah.
To a celebrity boxing match. Have a listen to this.
Galen, how fit are you at the moment, in all honesty?
In all honesty, I train, I go to the gym.
He can nearly run a footy oval.
On a good day.
No, but seriously, have you seen celebrity boxing in America?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's out of control.
If we can get this concept happening, it'll be a lot of fun for you guys. And now, any celebrities out there that want to mix it with Galen on April the 1st at Moorabbin...
Show them a couple of shots, Galen.
Serious. Email to petermaniatis.com.
I used to pack boxes in a warehouse for years. It was pretty much my first job. In the ring. Great. Look, I've been training for a good couple of months now.
Look, any celebrity out there that's watching the show...
He'll fight anybody.
Anyone.
Hopefully we can get an opponent where we can see the best of you.
I'll take anyone. I'll fight. I'm good. I'm in the gym. It's ready
to go. Sit down, mate. Relax, Galen.
The boys are fired up.
Oh. Wow.
What are you reckoning, Cavalli?
Which one was Galen?
The horse-faced Martian.
No, but which one of those three voices was Galen? The one touting Moorabbin?
The one challenging you to a boxing match.
You're a celebrity. You're a much bigger celebrity. I'm not a celebrity. You are.
But I'm thin and wearing glasses and elderly. Whereas you're at the gym and you look like the Chesty Bonds cartoon character guy.
Yeah, well, maybe this is a good look for me, Tone. I mean, the show is getting more popular, so you're saying that I should head down to try and get the show more ratings.
Yes.
I should head down to a car park and have a boxing match with a man that now is not even on reality television anymore. He's moved down to guest on community television to try and promote the show.
Well,
I say, Hamish and Andy, look out, because we... Yet this is coming for you.
All right. Look, maybe you need some advice from someone who really does know about boxing, and that would be Sylvester Stallone, who's all over the papers today.
He is.
And, you know, what was he bringing into the country in the bags? And could it be of help to you?
Was it a script for No Retreat, No Surrender 5?
Let's hope so. Let's find out, because I think we've got Sylvester Stallone on the phone now. Right. Mr. Stallone, what was the substance in the 48 vials? Somatropin.
Somatropin.
Sorry, was that words? Do you think the 48 vials of somatropin have had any adverse effects on you? Okay, fair enough. Now, just quickly, I understand you're calling us from Asia, where you're making another sequel to one of your films. Is it Rambo 4? Stop or my mom will shoot again. Okay, well, thanks for talking to us. Oh, someone get him some somatropin, please. What is somatropin, Ed?
Somatropin? Too long to go. I can't go into it here.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll be here all day talking ions and neutrons and...
Is it something to do with Ian Turpie's downstairs department?
Oh, yeah, sonic action triggers, you know.
Maybe, okay, if Ed Cavalli isn't a celebrity, then
not
he's not fit for a celebrity boxing match. No. Who cares?
Certainly not in the league that Galen's talking about. Yeah. I mean, these guys have got a car park, and they've got a couple of witches' hats, and they've cornered off some of the better spots close to the close to the exit doors.
Terps? Would Terps be an ideal opponent?
Terps in the Derps v Galen. Yeah. That's, I reckon he's up for it, if you know what I'm saying.
He'd have to be tested for stiffy spray first, because that could be, you know, performance enhancing. Anyway,
a lot of jabs to the thigh. You know what I mean?
It's almost a sports break there.
Oh, what?
We'll have to do
Turn it up, I'll tell you what. I'm going to get a struck match in here somewhere. Dead set, I'm going to head flip and I'm going to go spin all over here.
More sports in a moment.
Oh, what? Oh, I'll tell you what, Martin.
Get set,
Robin.
That'd be in excess. Ooh. Here, and get this.
Thinking about saxophones.
You've come to the right show. Never let you go. Triple M around the nation. Those Stallone vials.
How many?
It's interesting, isn't it? Well, 48. It says here in today.
See, that's what the problem was. When the people showed up at the hotel, you can't flush them all.
No.
You can't swallow 49. That's why they had to turf someone.
Off the balcony.
Yeah.
Nobody
that's your problem.
That. Says here, after his brush with the customs officers last month, Stallone insisted the suspicious substance detected in the baggage search was not steroids.
No.
And he was right. It was growth hormone. It was 48 vials of growth hormone.
How do you get that?
To try something to make your granddad look like he could still be in an action movie. But have a look at him. It's your granddad with his hair dyed black.
Yeah.
What is that Rambo movie going to look like? Honestly. It's going to look like when Weird Al was Rambo.
Oh, yeah. The plastic pecs. When Charlie Sheen did it in Hot Shots, didn't he?
That was great.
I'm sure that is what the real Rambo will look like in the next one. Hey, you said we're going to have sports. You want to do it?
Oh, yeah. Time for a sports report.
What do you got for us, Captain?
Well, listen up, fellas. The big male is on the swimming, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that Jody Henry can't wait for next week's championships.
Oh, yeah. Your sports connection.
Get this on Triple M. Oh, here's a story. Here's a big news story. One of Australia's top specialists in attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
I got that in high school.
Believes the links between doctors and drug companies could be contributing to over-prescribing the drugs to treat the condition in children. So I've lost interest in this article already.
Sorry, I was playing PlayStation. What did you say?
All right. Isn't that interesting, the idea that, you know, the doctors are sort of in the pockets of the drug company?
Jeez.
I don't know if that's true. We're not compromised, said one doctor, as he tumbled down the water slide at Pfizer's exclusive Ritalin Island off the Gold Coast.
I had that in high school.
Did you?
Yeah, my friend Dave, he went off and got ADD and came back and he said, look, I've got this certificate. I get half an hour extra in exams.
Oh, great.
I don't have to go to some things. I can leave class if I'm freaking out. He got the pills.
Yeah.
My friend Michael said, oh, what happened in the test, so he went and got it, and he got the extra half hour in the exam, and that's what got him into university, got him special consideration.
Wow, ADD.
And I went and did the same thing. So I went and got myself some ADD in high school because my marks were good enough to get into uni,
right?
And it got me in.
Fantastic.
It's amazing. Right.
See, in the 70s.
It's a beep test. It's easy to rig. All you got to do is wait for the beep, hang on, just hang out for a second, and then hit the button whenever you think an ADD kid would hit the button.
These are great tips.
We never had ADD in the 70s because there weren't enough things to be distracted by. Now you've got the internet and pornography ice, mobile phones.
We didn't have ice in my day.
Cargo pants, things in your pockets.
Who knows what exams I could have got out of if we had ice in my day.
We had Starsky and Hutch, the Pi 3-in-1 stereo, and that sort of buzzy bee thing that you would put, a wooden buzzy bee. And
what's a buzzy bee?
It didn't distract you. It was a bee on wheels. The wings turned. Wasn't enough to register an ADD rating. We're running late. I think we abandoned what we were going to do.
Okay.
We've been distracted. Yeah. We need some Ritalin in here.
Should play a song on the Pi 3-in-1 stereo now.
Oh, the Pi 3-in-1.
Oh, yeah.
What were the three?
It was a turntable.
Yes.
And a cassette player.
And a radio in one thing, Ed.
Oh, my goodness. What else could you need?
What are we going to do?
You had to move out. Someone had to sleep in the yard to fit it into the house. Oh, that was the iPod of its day.
Was there an auxiliary function, even though you didn't have anything to plug into it?
We only dreamed of an auxiliary function. One day they'll have one, we said. We won't know what it's for, but we'll have that.
Plug the bee in, see what happens.
The bee? You didn't have the buzzy bee?
Dude, I had ADD, all right? I had a Super Nintendo. I loved every second.
More in a moment. I'll get this. Oh, look, still putting this show together on the run. It's Get This Around the Nation. Boys in Town.
Divinals,
correct. Sorry, I'm only hearing you in one side of my headphones.
Yeah, it's because we had some earphone trouble. The Pi 3-in-1 earphones fell over. Ed's not even wearing his.
The show's sounding great over in that side of the room.
Yeah.
Rubbish over there. Don't look over there, people.
Okay.
I understand you've got some important news reinventions.
Yeah, I love a good invention. I especially love one from a 71-year-old retiree.
What's he done?
This is great. And he's invented a gravity eliminator.
Oh, about time.
It's an anti-gravity machine.
Where has he done this?
For the home?
This is in Victoria, in regional Victoria, I believe. Yeah,
he's won for Ross Noble's tour. Man.
This is great.
Yes. Ross Noble needs to track this bloke down for his show.
This is an amazing invention. It originally started life as a liquid pump. Then he added red skateboard wheels, gears, and odd-shaped plastic bits. And apparently, there we go. It defies, it makes gravity disappear.
It's an anti-gravity machine.
Yeah.
And what's he written on the side of it?
Gravity, like in old radiola-style writing.
He didn't have an anti?
That's true.
Wasn't big enough.
He's promoting the opposition right there.
I think what happens is you put the gravity in that hole and it comes out anti or something. Yeah. It's quite elaborate.
My anti-gravity machine. Someone's written gravity on it!
Those gravity kids. Curse you, gravity kids.
I dare say that when you're 71 years of age and you're going commando in a pair of short shorts, a gravity eliminator could come in handy, perhaps, for the wife.
What a disturbing image. Thank you.
We've got to follow that play. He might be onto something. We're laughing at his invention, but if he can get gravity into that pipe and then down into the wheelbarrow underneath it, I reckon he might be onto something.
It weighs 50 kilograms.
Global warming sorted.
Hey, is he working on a hover skateboard at all?
He should be.
The future style? Because that's when I get on board. That's when I'm really starting to like an invention. Stop all this global warming, carbon emissions. That's all going to, that'll sort itself out.
Hoverboards for all.
Everyone get on the hoverboard.
How old is that bloke?
71 years of age.
See, he's not old enough really to have a secret to long life. Remember that woman the other day?
A
woman believed to be the world's oldest person has died at 128. And if you're wondering about her secret to longevity, it was a glass of beer a day with two raw eggs in it.
Beer and eggs.
I'm not prepared to do that.
The foundation of a healthy diet. You'll live to 127. Then you've got this 107-year-old bloke in Hong Kong who's still
spring
in...
Spring chicken.
He's exactly. The 127-year-old person doesn't like this
pesky
bloke.
Pesky adolescents.
There's young people today. Still enjoys an occasional smoke, has attributed his longevity, or longevity in some parts of the country, to decades of sexual abstinence. I don't know why I've lived this long, he says, but I'm not getting any. No, maybe it has to do with the fact that I've lived a sexless life for many years, since I was 30.
Wow.
Mr. Chan was pictured looking sprightly at his own banquet. And now he wants to quit his abstinence.
Oh,
so now he's decided, I've got 107.
All right.
I've been doing this for 77 years. Time to get back on the horse.
Back on board. Online dating for you, sir. Speed dating. Speed dating at the Guinness Book of Record events.
Oh. He's waited 77 years.
Does he like older chicks?
He's going to go off. That bloke is going to go
off.
He
likes older women, so it's going to be tough. Losing contenders all the time.
It's a bold gamble, though, isn't it? I mean, he's decided at 30, yeah, right, this will work. And then it has, but he's never, you know, who's to say that that's the reason? Maybe he's just been drinking beer and eggs.
Oh, you're right.
Maybe the beer and eggs have been doing all the work.
What if it's all been in vain?
The not getting any has been getting the credit.
Can't tell him that, though.
Anyway, look, today's show, guys, I know on the rundown, it says that at this point I'm supposed to do a scene with that bloke, Jim, from EastEnders.
You know, yes.
The bloke who talks like that on EastEnders.
Yeah, I like that guy.
He does say that.
On UK TV, on Foxtel. I just think the character might be a bit too obscure.
Yeah. Too late now, mate. Your secret's out. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Everybody's seen it. Everybody knows.
Jim, I'm sorry. I don't have a script prepared.
You've made your bed. You lie in it.
Yeah, I've told everyone it's going to be a really good segment.
Everyone's a bit iffy with a troop now and again, aren't they?
Especially us on this program.
Don't I know it?
I mean, our producer, Nikki Hamilton, has been trying to rein the show in.
She's tried hard at everything she does. She's a lovely young girl. Well, perhaps I should say woman now she's turned 21.
Yeah, now Richard's got his eye on her. Although he claims that's not the case.
That is a load of old tush, and you know it. I mean, the bloke is besotted with her. Heaven knows why.
Oh, hang on, Jim, that's a bit rude.
Don't I know it?
I wanted you to help me out with this segment.
No, what you want is my approval, or you ain't going to get it, because what you're doing is wrong.
All right, jeez. Maybe I'll just move on to our guests in the next hour, guys. We've got Simon Pegg and Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead. Oh, the commentary on that, on the DVD, is great.
That's the joy of these DVDs, isn't it, hey? All these extra bits. You don't get that on a Betamax, do you?
Jim, that is enough. This is becoming annoying and repetitive.
Don't I know it?
Oh, please! Stop it! Get him out! It's just confusing people.
Come on, Jim.
What do you think is getting too much hype in this country? Is that Stella McCartney gear getting too much
Perhaps.
Hype? Perhaps. Is Galen's celebrity boxing match, as advertised on community TV, getting enough?
I love it. Any celebrities that are watching, the phones have lit up. Carrie Ann's on the line.
All right, we'll find out who's getting too much hype next on Get This.
Get This.
The research certainly suggests that it's not that productive.
Brought to you by Ryan Langley, who loves wacky sound effects. Personally, I find them cheap and gratuitous.
Get This is the program. It's heard on Triple M. That's where you're listening right now. If you're in Brisbane or Melbourne or Adelaide or Sydney.
Hey, good for you.
Simple as that. Mm-hmm. And in the next hour, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg are in. Right. Maybe
yeah,
you're not quite
forward to it.
Sure who they are. They were the two blokes in their film Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
You've seen them in so many things. Simon Pegg was in Mission Impossible 3.
He was.
There we go.
Spaced was a great series on the ABC. So many fans. There's websites. There's the Spaced Out website. They've all been contacting us.
Have they?
Telling us not to cock it up.
Oh, no.
Right.
Look, I went...
Hey, they're behind Caperl.
Are they?
They say they're going to wear capes for the whole month of April.
Good
on you. Just because we're having Pegg and Frost on.
Oh, thanks, guys. Good to have you on board, all three of you. But last night I went to the Q&A session.
Oh, how was that?
Popcorn Taxi Q&A session.
Have all the good questions been asked?
Yeah, well, all the good synopsises have been read out.
Are the people with this
All the good
place?
Statements disguised as questions have been said. The film got an amazing response.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz is the film.
Yeah, it was went really, really well. But it was all right. I only heard one audience member screamed out, you know, shut the F up to the guy.
Moderating.
Yeah. Politely asking questions.
Spaced is a fantastic show that not enough people have seen.
Yeah.
You can get it on DVD. The ABC played, I'm onto my rant.
Here we go.
I haven't really done one this year.
Yeah.
But how shoddy is this?
I don't know.
A way to treat a TV show.
Yeah.
They played the first series 10 o'clock on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. Didn't advertise it, but enough people saw it.
Yep.
Then they repeated it about 6 months later.
Yes.
At midnight on Saturday.
Sexy new time.
And then, without telling anyone, even the press didn't spot this.
No.
They went straight into the second series. At midnight on Saturday.
Yeah, look, there's... Yeah, I know.
And look at what they put on in, like, normal times.
What are you talking about?
Rubbish.
Rubbish. Like Peter Rosethorn's. Can we help you? Is that what you're getting
that
at?
That thing where Father Dougal is a superhero.
Oh, yeah.
That even he didn't like.
Yeah. I know, Tom.
That's on in prime time.
Look, I
Royal Family after midnight.
I know, Tom.
Father Ted, not at all.
I know. I mean, I'm listing this.
Alan Partridge, never.
Yeah. Because I'm listing this because I have to, because I'm sitting in the studio. But those out there in the real world, they've got the option to switch over to any station they like.
Sorry.
Get the comedy channel. That's the answer.
It is. Yeah. The ABC treat British comedy like crap.
I know they do.
Anyway.
And these are good shows. You're absolutely right, Tony.
They're not boring, obscure shows.
No, they're really good
for
shows.
For nerds.
Great shows.
Spaced is one of them. Hunted out on the DVD if you have to.
Yep.
But anyway. Oh, hang on.
Oh, no.
Is that the alarm that means I've been ranting for too long?
Oh, no.
It's the hinder alert. That means we're about to play Lips of an Angel.
Oh,
although I don't think we've brought it into the studio with us today.
Rich,
how are we going to do this?
Because what's happened is Rich has left, right? What's happening is his girlfriend's here, Tone.
Oh.
Right, but Rich has walked off.
Oh,
and
dear.
He's sitting in a room with his ex-girlfriend.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
I'm worried something's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So you and I need to play him a song to bring him back into the fold. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm gonna
You know what it's like?
Yeah.
It's like his ex-girlfriend has the lips of an angel.
Oh, okay. All right.
So if you could just strum and sing, just I'll do whatever I can in the background.
Okay, here we go.
Go. Two, one, three, four.
Does this sound like it?
Yeah, you need some words, Tone. Ready?
Words. Plenty of them.
Honey, why are you calling me so late? Coming from the lips of an angel.
Honey, why are you calling me? You need
thank you, Kevley and Hinder.
Ah, singing from who knows who and guitar solo from 81. Going off.
It's Get This on Triple M Around the Nation. It's time for Climb.
I think you'll find Mountain. What is hitting?
It's turned into quite a little sing-along, man.
Maybe that's getting too much hype.
Too much hype.
Too much hype.
Too much hype.
What is, people are saying the Stella McCartney gear.
Don't believe the hype.
Thank you, Flavor.
Thank you, Flavor.
How does he have time to pop in here between all those TV shows?
Amazing. I like the fact that we've got some hip-hop cred now.
Have we really?
Even it's from 20 years ago.
Do you know that for a fact?
Nation.
We have hip-hop cred?
Yeah, we're big. I mean, the Soul Train Awards were the other night.
How did we go?
Oh, we did very well. Your version of Body of a Wonderland got Best R&B Soul Single.
Again?
Ed Cavalier's version of Body is a Wonderland.
Don't believe the
Yes.
Hype.
Yes.
Oh, no, isn't we shouldn't play it.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
What about that show that's on, I think, Channel 9, The Catch-Up?
Don't believe the hype.
Has anyone seen that yet?
No, but I've seen The View in America.
Hello.
Here's what they're saying in the Sydney Morning Herald, and I'm assuming this is correct. Ratings-wise, The Catch-Up is down to 164,000 people a day. From an opening figure of 224,000. It's now averaging 50,000 fewer than Oprah on 10, 15,000 fewer than The Young and the Restless, the show that it replaced.
Ouch.
Oh, what is the answer? Eddie's going to have to host. It's going to have to be catch-up with Eddie McGuire.
That's a good idea.
Because his show, that 100-to-1 thing, that's doing all right.
Is it?
Or 1 versus 100, whatever it is. So the answer is obviously Eddie just has to do everything.
That's a good idea.
If you can't do it properly, do it yourself.
That's fair enough.
Just Eddie
absolutely
on,
fair
on
enough.
Every show.
McGuire's
Anatomy. Is that? Oh, that's the other channel, isn't it? We're on fine
McGuire's
ground.
Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
I'm trying to think of some
60
other...
Maguires?
Some puns.
I just can't think of any other Channel 9 shows. I can tell
can
you what's
I.
on the Crime Investigation Network on Fox now. I can tell you that Spaced was on at midnight on the ABC. Okay, so maybe that's overhyped. What else?
Yeah, this swimming. Come on, guys. It's a swimming... The world's swimming something or another's.
Okay.
Don't believe the hype.
Never point at you, Rich. I've got to learn to do that. Have a listen to this. Somebody said that there are still 2,000 tickets for Saturday's opening ceremony
left to be sold.
Right.
It's an 11,000 seat venue.
Yeah.
I think what's more amazing is that they've sold 9,000 tickets to a swimming opening ceremony.
Don't believe the hype.
See, they're worried that the synchronized swimming isn't going to look full on TV.
Oh, right.
Now, they're worried that it's not going to look full because nobody's buying any tickets.
Because the whole thing is making a mockery of our drought. Let's get a hold of our precious water and have people dancing about it.
I know.
Dancing about. What music do they have playing?
Inya. Lips of an Angel.
That's just taking the piss.
I don't even know anymore.
That is taking the piss. Look at what we can do with our precious drop.
I'm sure it's very popular.
Maybe we should all go down with a bucket of our grey water.
Yes.
Pop it in the pool.
Grey water synchronised swimming.
That's a good idea.
That would be.
From the murky depths.
Brilliant.
All 100 right.
metre grey water.
Richard Marsden, what is getting too much hype?
The death of Captain America.
Don't believe the hype.
Oh, that's going to be bogus. He'll be back in a couple of issues.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And I think, I mean, the reason that he's being killed, he's not strong. He needs a cape. He's never worn a cape.
He's never had a cape.
He's always just had the spandex. Is it spandex?
Spandex.
He'll be absent for
Capril. He's
just
had the suit.
He's got a shield.
I'm not sure exactly what happens. It's farewell drinks for Captain America, though.
Yeah, they say that. Except I notice he's been shot in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And in the stomach.
So that means
he's not going to kill a superhero.
That's right.
Why the shoulder?
I mean, how long has Captain America been going? A few years, I'm guessing. It was around when I was.
Since World War II. I think he actually tidied up World War II.
Did he?
I think that was one of Captain America's jobs.
Did a bang up job.
Okay. Did one of them surges.
Well, hasn't anyone thought to shoot him before this?
You would think he would work out the bullet matrix.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys.
Shoulder!
I'm going to take out Captain America with this bow and arrow. Dude, that is not going to work. We've been trying that for years.
Jack Bauer gets shot in the shoulder in 24.
Every day.
It's actual time. It'll be 20 minutes later. Fine. Now nothing wrong. It's just the shoulder.
Why do they kill? They kill, you know, the fun. I like. When's Jeremy from Zitz taking a shotgun blast to the face?
Who's that?
You know, the little comic strip.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When are the team from Better or Worse?
When's someone going to run into one of the panels, spray them all?
Someone going to take out the Wizard of Id?
Yeah.
When's someone going to stuff Fred Bassett into a sack and throw him off a bridge? A lot of other cartoon characters that could be sorted out. Little Dot. She's been getting it too good for too long.
Tot.
Spooky, the ghost.
With the top hat.
With the top
bowler hat.
Sorry.
What's keeping it up there?
I love that.
He's a ghost.
It's one of the great questions, isn't it?
On this program,
sure
it
is.
Gee, maybe if they were talking about issues like this on the catch-up, they'd be rating even less.
Okay.
Is that everything that makes Flavor say,
don't believe the hype?
What do you think is getting too many props?
Yeah, too many props, too much press, just too much in you. Like, swimming gets so much publicity.
Yeah.
There's a bloke making a hoverboard in the bush, in a wheelbarrow that's got gravity written on the side
of it. That's right.
Where is that man's primetime slot? I would watch that for 2 hours every night. Barrow man.
What is getting too much hype? 1-333-53. Hey, yeah, that's our cast here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. What is getting too much hype? Who's going first?
Hello, Genevieve. How are you?
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hello. What's getting too much hype, Genevieve?
I think that the Stella McCartney collection is getting
hype,
considering there are no capes in the collection.
Ah,
yeah,
very true.
No capes. Trench coats.
Lots of trenches.
Not close enough to a cape.
Fair enough, Genevieve. You are a purist, and I like that about you.
Yeah, did
you?
I'm also a spaced out member. I'm one of the three that you mentioned.
Oh, I knew it.
I knew there's many. I know that there's lots more than three. I was just being silly.
I know, that's all right. Hey, I was last night as well.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, at the screening.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And the guys are lovely. They're so nice.
Good, good, good.
We'll turn them around, don't worry.
Yeah.
And Genevieve, I am right, aren't I? The second series was premiered at midnight.
Yeah, I actually missed it.
There you go. One of the fans didn't even know it was on.
I got onto it because of Shaun of the Dead.
Genevieve, don't give him any excuse for a rant.
No,
okay?
Go for it.
Yeah, no, don't.
Deserve it.
Genevieve, you don't have to sit here after the show. You know, sometimes I miss dinner because Tone's going on and on about the Brit-ass empire.
And how bad it is, I'd like to point out. How does a 6-series DVD, you go, how did it get to 6?
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Genevieve.
The shithouse empire.
Sorry, Genevieve. Welcome to my world. Thank you very much. Hello, Paul. How are you?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Excellent, sir. What's getting too much hype?
The F1 Grand Prix.
Right. Don't believe the hype. Oh,
and well done you for waiting for our stink. Touche.
I like it. You've got a headline, the gripe.
Yeah.
Give me a moment. And then continue.
What is it, Paul, that gets you goat about it?
Well, they never try and jump the lake.
Oh, see, that would make it more visual.
Yeah, well, then for sort of factor in a bit of a Birdman rally aspect.
Oh, Paul, you have absolutely hit the nail on the head. Are you saying that the prize for winning the Grand Prix should be that you get the chance to try and jump the lake on a novelty bike of some sort?
Well, yeah. Possibly, but I reckon they should award them a cape rather than a trophy.
Yeah, so everyone's getting behind cape.
Yeah,
it needs to be more visual. I mean, lots of people go to the car racing. I'm assuming it's a top day out. But surely you're just sitting there and you're just saying, surely that's the only bit you see.
Yeah,
at least
well,
on the telly, you're seeing all of it.
I'm going to have to correct you there. It's not a top day out.
No,
okay.
Along. Oh, and just so you know, Tony, Alan Partridge was actually screened by Channel 7.
Yeah, after midnight.
Yeah, well, what can you say?
And I don't think they played the middle series.
No, they didn't.
Oh, there you go.
Paul, have you learned nothing from Genevieve? Come on, man. Thank you very much. Hello, Shane, how are you?
Yeah, I reckon the upcoming election, mate, we ought to get rid of that.
Don't believe the hype!
The upcoming election in New South Wales is getting too much press, you reckon?
Yeah, that's it, mate. Get rid of a lot of them people. And the lady you had on the other day from that Crania Gherkins, I reckon she'd make a good Prime Minister.
That's
a good Careful job. Job for Prime Minister.
Well, that's
things would be sorted out pretty quickly.
But that is true. I mean, the forward promotes of elections are ridiculous because, I mean, now they're campaigning for 2008 in the US.
Yeah.
But, you know, with third month of 2007, and they're already talking about the election at the end of the year.
Yeah,
we've had it. And now I think Fred Dalton Thompson from Law and Order.
Oh,
he's thrown his
hat.
He's a very good actor.
Yes.
Going to be...
For the Republicans.
Yeah, running for the Republicans. So who have they got now? You've got Cuda.
Yep.
The mechanic from Dukes of Hazzard.
Yep.
He's a congressman. You've got Gopher.
Yes.
From The Love Boat.
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger,
of course.
He's in there.
Jesse Ventura.
Wow. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Screech for president. How far away is that?
Thank you, Shane. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Really good. What's getting too much hype?
Lottie Takiri.
Don't believe
now,
the hype.
Now, for anyone who doesn't know what it is, Tone, explain who Lottie Takiri is.
I'm assuming it's a Turkish soft drink, I'm guessing. It's a Powerball competition in the Ukraine. It's a car. It's a related to the Skoda, the car from Russia.
No, it's a football.
What is it?
He's a footballer, Chris.
Of course he is.
And what's been happening? He's choosing...
He was deciding for the last 7 months if he was going to go back to rugby league or stay with rugby union.
Oh, Chris.
He's decided, and he's still hearing about it.
Oh, and are you, were you losing sleep, Chris?
No, I was just sick of changing the channel every time he came on the television.
No idea what any of this means. I'm sure it's important.
Thank you, Chris. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Really good. Here What's getting too much hype?
Alex Favola.
Don't believe the hype.
Tone, explain who that is.
Now, is this someone related to Lara Bingle?
Slightly.
Yeah, related to strong words.
I just can't stand it. I'm so over it.
Isn't it Brendan? Who's that?
Yeah, well done.
It's wife of
Brendan. The wife. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's sort of...
What's happened, Rich?
She's been doing some good stuff. She was on A Current Affair and they had an interview with Brendan Favola and Alex Favola just talking about how they've patched the marriage up since the Lara Bingle thing. And she was quite frosty towards him. It was quite entertaining television, I have to tell you.
There we go. So, Tracy, what isn't getting enough hype? What do you think needs more hype?
More hype. Yeah. Oh, the flags that are going to be put on the West Gate Bridge.
This is in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
As if we don't need anymore else to tell the rest of the world that the West is tacky.
Oh, no. Is that what it's about, do you think?
Tracy?
Hey, I live in the West.
Oh, fair enough. Well, thank you very much for the call.
No problems, guys.
Nice to speak to you.
Hey.
That's good. That's a good selection, Tone.
I was confused by the last couple of calls.
You sure were.
But I'll be back on safe ground in the next hour as Simon Pegg and Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead, from Spaced and from Hot Fuzz.
Looking forward to it.
If you don't know what any of that means, you will at the end of the next hour of Get This. Get
This. Yeah, fight it. Fight it. Write as many letters as you can, talk to as many people as you can and fight it.
Brought to you by Leon from Geelong, who's such a big fan of the Cats, he last night snuck onto his neighbour's property and drank a bottle of suntan lotion.
Do what I want because I can, if I don't because I wanna.
Triple M is rock. Be ignored by the step and the board because I'm gonna. It's the second hour of Get This. Welcome aboard, everybody. Hey, look, it's Simon Pegg and Nick Frost from Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Hello, Australia.
Hello, all.
Now, I think you've worked out who you're talking to because I see you've got a 2000 AD t-shirt on, Simon.
I have. It's the original typeface as well of the first.
That's a loud bed. It is a loud bed. Welcome to Australia. We like our rock and roll loud.
I'll crank it down.
2000 AD, I did have the first issue of that and it was stolen. Stolen from my locker at school.
That'll be worth a penny or two now.
I know.
I had hundreds of issues of 2000 AD, which I collected over a space of years. And I went away travelling when I was 18 for like 2 years. And when I came back, Mum had flung them all out.
Not thrown them.
Flung them all out.
Not even sold them.
Do you
know what? Even if eBay had existed in those days, she still would have thrown them out. Yeah.
Have you spoken to her since at all?
No. We don't talk anymore. Last time I saw her.
My mum threw literally a bathtub full of my comics into an incinerator, and she said, "This is for your character development. You'll thank me later."
And look what happened. Turned you into a serial killer.
That's right. Wearing a human skin suit as I present the program. Let's have some music and then have a proper conversation. I'll get this. Oh, that's a treat. That's Lou Reed
from
New York, Dirty Boulevard. Here at Get This, it's the second hour on Triple M. Please, some more of that fake applause for Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
What do you mean fake?
All fake applause for everybody on the show. So nothing but
that crowd are miming.
Our listeners would probably know you from Shaun of the Dead. A lot of them know you from Space, but Hot Fuzz is coming out. Is it this week it's out?
Tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
tomorrow.
How would you explain it to somebody who hasn't even seen the poster?
If you ever watched an episode of Miss Marple and thought more people should die horribly, go and see Hot Fuzz. It's kind of like Tony Scott directing The Bill.
Great. That's what we want. How many action films? There's a scene in the movie where Nick, your character, opens up a pretty impressive DVD library in your house. Is that stuff from you guys' collection? How much did you have to watch?
It was actually the combined. It was Edgar's and his brother's collection that we, because it's massive. And we watched a lot of films to do the research for Hot Fuzz. We watched every single cop film. Nick, we gave Nick a pile of 20. What did you watch?
They gave me a pile of 20, and Bad Boys 2 was on the top. I watched that, and that was that. That was it.
You're in.
Research complete.
Where do you go after there? You can't watch Turner and Hooch after watching Bad Boys 2.
Our favourite title for a cop movie is the Steven Seagal film Half Past Dead.
Yeah.
Is it that time already?
And listen, our listeners have been emailing in to say there's a sequel in production, straight to video, sadly.
5 to Dead?
25 to...
25 Past Dead, you would think. Half Past Dead 2. Just not trying.
I should have called it Half Past 2 Dead.
Mortar clock.
What, you know, what conventions did you observe and go, we've got to squeeze that in somewhere?
All of them. We genuinely watched as many films as possible just to reacquaint ourselves. We'd seen all of them before, but we wanted to reacquaint ourselves with the sort of language of action. And so there's a lot, you know, obviously simple stuff like the gun that never has to be reloaded. And, yes. But even to the point of there's the little cliches like whenever anybody speaks into a microphone at a public event in a film, it will always feed back just before they speak. It always goes, hello. So we even did that one.
We had Danny Boyle on yesterday and I was too embarrassed to say to him, but he's done a space movie.
Yeah, Sunshine.
And I was driving in to see it and I'm going, you know what they always have now in a space movie? There's always someone who gets around the ship on like rollerblades.
Right.
Or a skateboard.
Segway.
Or a bike.
Yeah.
And then usually can't hear someone creeping up behind them because they've got rap music on their headphones.
Yeah. That goes back to The Thing, that the character of Knowles in The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. He was on actual roller skates because it was the 80s. He had a Walkman on and that stopped him from hearing the giant creature sneaking up behind him.
12 minutes into Sunshine, someone zips up a metallic corridor on one of those razor bikes.
There you go.
Get off.
You've got to get that in.
It's a classic. You've got to do it.
And we were talking to Danny Boyle about zombie movies, and he, you know, did 28 Days Later, which kind of sped up the zombies.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what I love is when you did Shaun of the Dead, you decided to adhere to the convention of the lumbering zombies.
Absolutely. We met Danny in Sydney actually the other day. He's a lovely fella, but we did think that film should have been called 28 Coffees Later because those zombies, they just move way fast. I think it was good though, because what Danny did was he sort of reinvented the genre a bit and he played with it and came up with something new. We specifically wanted to go back to Romero's kind of canon and have it as if it was you know, as if Dawn of the Dead was happening in the United States, and this was what was happening in London as the epidemic took over the world. Right. So it was very important that we stuck to his rules, you know.
The thing about the zombies as well, the slow zombies, is the fact that you can run as much as you like, but they are going to get you. You know, they're like lava around the church.
But they don't tire, that's the thing. Great cardiovascular fitness, those zombies. Yeah. Never get tired.
If you're in a room with a zombie, you can run around all day getting away. You can do the V's at it, sing at it. It won't, but eventually you will go to sleep and it will eat you. And that is it.
But what's great about Shaun of the Dead and about the Hot Fuzz is that you'll see descriptions of them and inevitably the word spoof will be used. Oh. Yeah. Except we're not in Mel Brooks' Zucker Brothers country, because these films seem to work as proper films. Shaun of the Dead works as a proper zombie movie as well as being a comedy.
I think it's because we kind of, you know, we sort of love those films. I think Mel Brooks is an interesting case in point, actually, because you look at films like Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles and High Anxiety, and he loved Universal horror movies, and he loved westerns, and he loved, you know, Hitchcock. So those films are infused. They're less spoofy in a way, even though they're comedies. They're still, you know, like Young Frankenstein looks like a Universal horror film.
Does.
But yeah, we're not interested in taking the Mickey. You know, we know no one's ever going to cast us in a big action film, or we have to make it ourselves. And seeing as we're comedians, they have to be funny. So yeah, I mean, if Shaun of the Dead is a spoof of anything, it's a spoof of romantic comedies. You know, it's not a spoof of zombies.
Always play it very straight, though, as well. You know? You know, the comedy comes from the fact it's a tiny West Country village being shot to pieces.
Oh, it's totally believable. You know? Up until about like the seventh reel, maybe. Once the vicar produces a machine gun, when the bets are off.
When the church takes off. That's when,
Now, Simon, you say, oh, you know, you're not going to be cast, but you were in Mission Impossible 3, weren't you?
Yeah, but what was I playing? Mr. Geeky English Computer Tech.
They're coming through the North Quarter, Tom.
I wasn't sprinting alongside Tom in Shanghai. I was guiding him on a mobile phone and a computer.
Turn left, Ethan.
But yeah, that was fun. It was fun to be in that, though. It was amazing. Scale, but it was the same. You know, J.J. Abrams is very much, he's like Edgar, he's like a film fan who's become a filmmaker. You know, he's
I do another one of those things?
Go on then.
You've got company, Ethan.
And were you the guy who we love on 24? Doesn't matter what building they're heading for, someone can just bring up something called the schematics.
Pull up the schematics.
yeah.
Every house in town.
I was the Tony Almeida.
Now, you were the Edgar Styles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Previously on 24.
We like to do a thing that makes us laugh. It's like we imagine that it's Jack Bauer doing the voiceover. Do you know at the beginning when he says,
this takes place between me.
So we like to do a thing that we imagine they're in the voiceover booth and Jack goes,
previously on 24.
Sorry, Jack, could you do that again? Less camp?
Okay, fine. Previously on 24.
No, you sound very gay.
Fine,
you
just... okay. Previously, 24.
And it goes on. Because
there must be one day during the shoot for that where they have to get him into a booth to do the following takes place between 11 and 8. And would he just do them in one? Or would
he'll
just
do it in a one.
You can tell by the way that it sounds that he does all the numbers sync.
10 a.m. 11 a.m.
All right.
It's 12 a.m. It's like when you can hear the pauses in
book tickets at the cinema.
10 a.m.
We've got more talking to do, but first some music. I get this. Ah, that's The Fray. How to Save a Life. Yes, we're well aware of that here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, stars of an excellent new film that opens tomorrow called Hot Fuzz, are here.
And I went to the screening last night, a Q&A in Melbourne, and it went off. And the biggest response was from perhaps a fight between a younger man and an older lady.
People love kicking a granny in the face. It's obviously people, not.
It was almost standing ovation when that came.
It's the one thing we can't do in society. And when you see it depicted in a film, you celebrate it, can't we?
It is massive.
Have you ever been given like 10 cents or something, or a dollar, and really what you really wanted was a substantial more amount of money? So what you wanted is you want to kick granny in the face, and you can't.
Kick.
There are laws in place.
Now, you guys, I notice, are wearing the black armbands for John Inman today. One of your fellow, well, you guys have done sitcoms.
A compatriot of ours. Yeah, that's a shame. That is, you know, obviously when anyone pops off, it's a shame. But obviously, we all know John Inman for Mr. Humphreys and the catchphrase, "I'm free."
That's right.
which he is now.
We have a recording of his funeral here if you want to have a listen. That's cheap. and unnecessary. It's without his Richard.
It's, when know, she says the words going up now, it seems so much more poignant in music.
Going up to heaven. Huge fans of you guys' sitcom Spaced, which was virtually shown by the ABC here in Australia.
I heard they balls that right up.
Yeah, they showed the second series at midnight.
What's
good.
Wrong with you, ABC? That you know how to.
They had lots of birds of a feather to get through in prime time.
Ah, yeah, the quality stuff.
The big one.
But you know, one of the great conventions that we do here in Australia from time to time is we get the cast of a British sitcom, we bring them down, and we get the name of their show, and we add the words "Down Under" to it.
Hey presto, local show.
What about Space Down Under?
Space Down Under, it could work.
So we did Are You Being Served Down Under? John Inman, no one else from the original, local actors.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard about that. That's right. It was kind of like it was just him and no one else.
Yeah.
He came down here for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So Space Down Under could just be you, Nick. You come down. Mike's on manoeuvres.
That's all right. I've got to pay for a new house, so I'll do what I can, you know.
But that was a fantastic show, Space. And Edgar Wright, the bloke who directed it, has done your films.
Yeah, yeah.
He can whiz a camera around, that bloke, can't he?
Oh, yeah. That boy knows his way around a camera. He really does know how to make... He's quite a fan of... of making a camera move rather than just having it locked off. And so, yeah. You know, with Edgar, the camera work is a character in itself as well.
There was a brilliant episode of Space which was involved you going playing paintball.
Oh, yeah.
And the rival on the other paintball team was someone who'd pinched your girlfriend. And he managed to make it look like Platoon.
It felt like Platoon that day. It was the first time I'd ever been on a paintball range. And, I felt powerful.
I'd been paintballing before and it was very, very painful. It killed.
You'd also spent that time as a mercenary in the Slavic area, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I used to tout my business with a Druganov 672.
Now, here's what you used to do. A lot of people listening to this might not know Spaced, and they're thinking, what are you talking about, guys? But they might recognise your voice. Aren't you the narrator of the Super Nanny?
Now, yeah, I am.
How did that happen? Wow.
Because I used to be married to Joe. And,
of course. It's a favour.
So, you know, they did this series and they needed a voice, and who better?
Nick spent a lot of time on the naughty step.
Yeah. That's why we divorced.
And Simon, people who haven't seen Space would possibly know you from Big Train, which was shown here.
Did they show that here as well?
That was a great... Fantastic, that got shown. Yeah. Great series.
That was a fun show to do. That was kind of the first thing I did, really. And, it was great to... because there were lots of different sketches in that, and we got to dress up a lot. And it's a very funny show. And also, you know, the kind of... it was the beginning of all that playing it straight kind of stuff
that
sort of culminated in the office. And
less is more.
The probably the Big Train, one of the most shows to be ripped off by makers of adverts.
Oh man, it never fails to infuriate me. Because advertisers are such. I censored myself there. You know, get an idea of your own. Do you know what I mean? They say, oh, no, it's a tribute. No, it's not. It's you're ripping us off.
Like the year after Napoleon Dynamite came out,
yeah.
Anyone that I knew that was an actor that went for a commercial,
yeah.
The first thing the person in the, you know, the white shoes and the spiky hair would say is like, it's kind of like a Napoleon Dynamite thing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh,
yeah, come
God.
On, guys.
Get lost.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest shootouts I've ever seen on film was a sketch in Big Train. I think you were one of the BGs.
Bee Gees versus Chaka Khan.
That's the one.
It was a historical recreation of an event that took place at the Sunrise Studios when Chaka was sent out to take down the Bee Gees. They were out of hand. That's how they all passed on.
Now, look, why should we have all the asking fun? Do you want to field questions from our listeners?
Do we ever?
Oh, yeah.
We met some great fans of Spaced and the films last night at the screening. And,
anyone in costume?
There was one guy. Who had a Shaun of the Dead outfit on, which was always great to see, and it was a real joy to sort of, you know, be on the other side of the world, and then there were these people that turn up to especially to see him, and we were quite moved, weren't we?
You know what? I'm going to say this: we are all about the people. So yeah, let's have it.
Nick did say that earlier on in his helicopter as he went over.
All about you down there.
I choked on a ruby for breakfast.
As usual.
He only eats gems.
Do we have that thing, the zombie march this year? Do you have that in England?
Oh yeah, yes. We heard about that, yeah.
It's great.
It's very popular here.
People go on like a kind of a walk.
Yeah, like a
lumber.
A lumber. They lumber through the streets dressed
it's
as
like
zombies.
It's like a fun stagger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For charity. We call it rush hour. Back at home.
Let's see what our listeners have got to say. Let's do that next.
Forget this.
Well, I guess it's believable, but it is
quite alarming.
Brought to you by Mel from Brisbane, who's had the name Stella McCartney tattooed onto her left buttock to increase its value.
Thank you, Ads. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Simon Pegg is here. Nick Frost is here. Both from the excellent new film Hot Fuzz, opening tomorrow around the nation. That's the business out of the way. Guys, you know someone who's a regular on this program, Greg Fleet.
Well, actually, old friends. Actually, Tony, Nick what happened to my brain just then?
It usually happens at this time.
You're the one scheduled for 10:30.
Sorry, because I'm so excited about the question. I understand you guys are in a film with Greg Fleet called Dinner for Two.
You remember Dinner for Two?
Yeah, Simon and Nick, yeah?
It was one of our earliest pieces of work. And, yeah. I think it featured perhaps the greatest visual joke ever with Greg trying to put an LP into a CD player.
I just got a video camera. Greg was living with us in London, and I just bought a video camera, and we decided to make a film called Dinner for Two, which was all about... I directed it. I wasn't in it. Nick went round for dinner with Greg and his missus, and then... And they had a really bad improvised conversation, and then Nick left, and then they woke up and Nick was back in the room, and then the phone rang and it was the police saying that Nick had died in a car crash.
That's chilling, isn't it? I hadn't got it until then.
Greg Fleet is currently...
Didn't that end up being Ghost Dad?
That was the sequel.
He's working on a new show for the Comedy Festival. From Rehab!
Yes!
Hey, go nice. Fleety.
Best good luck to you, Fleety.
If he's in there listening, go, buddy.
Yep.
I think you're doing a good thing.
Yep. If he is in there listening, why did they let him smuggle the radio in? He could have had smack in the battery compartment.
Wouldn't be the first time. We want questions. Yes. For these gentlemen.
Okay.
Can I answer an envelope, like an umbrella question before we
do
begin?
Do it now.
Yes. I'm speaking on behalf of Simon here, which I often do. I don't think there's going to be a third series of Space. So.
Oh, the phones have just all gone out.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys.
All the luck, guys.
Call now.
Good luck on the Grand Prix.
1-3-3-5-3. That'd be the Jay Giles Band. Of course it would. Here at Get This Centrefold Around the Nation on Triple M, Nick Frost and Simon Pegg from Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead are here with us, and we want to hear some good questions. Who's got one, Ed?
Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi. Hey. How's it going?
Just a quick one. I heard from a contact I have in England who's already seen the new movie, but one of the great lines from Shaun of the Dead makes a reappearance. I just want to, I guess, confirm this is true, and that's when one of the chaps goes to the shop and says to the guy on the couch, "What is it from the shop?" And the response is... Cornetto.
We do reuse the confection Cornetto. Basically, the films are a trilogy of films in the different flavours of Cornetto. In the future, it will be known as the Cornetto Trilogy.
I just jump on YouTube and watch that scene over and over because it's one of the greats.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, go see the new movie because I think it's full of great moments.
Thank you, Sean. Hi, Hamish. How are you?
Hey, how you going, guys?
Hey, Hamish.
I got a question for Simon.
Go.
Well, why on earth are you doing movies with David Schwimmer?
Why am I?
Why? I mean...
Are you a friend snob?
Yeah, I really love the show.
Yeah, what films... You've done two films with him.
I worked with him as a as an actor in a film called Big Nothing, and then he directed me in a film called Run, Fat Boy, Run. He's a really nice guy. I think, you know, he's very talented and funny, and I think people, you know, that he gets a... from the sort of cynics who just like... I think Friends is a great show. It or not, it's a well-written, well-performed American sitcom, and, you know, people don't seem to want him to move on. I've worked with him because I like him.
But more importantly, what is Run, Fat Boy, Run?
It's a film about a guy who runs a marathon in order to win his girlfriend, Tandy Newton, back. And the biggest joke in the film is that Tandy Newton would ever go out with me.
thank you, Hamish. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Good, guys. Yourself?
I'm good.
Hey, Josh.
That's the way. First off, love your work, guys. Love Shaun of the Dead.
Thanks,
and pass it on to all my mates. Everyone here thought it was great.
Good man. Spread the word.
Yeah, well, we are, mate. We are fighting a good fight.
Important issues. That's
He's
what
one
our
of our warriors.
What's the question?
Right, I was just wondering, what sort of advice would you give to a young fellow who's interested in starting his own films and so forth?
Back off. There's no room.
Don't come to England. We'll have you murdered.
Can I field this side?
Field it, Nick.
Thanks, mate. I would say keep going.
Yep.
You know, keep your head down, keep working. Work hard, keep going.
YouTube.
YouTube. Yeah, you know, little things on there. It's perfect now.
So you know, you can make anyone can get a film on.
Yeah. Little scenes, you know, MySpace. It's all there. You know, it's a lot more open now than say 50 years ago when there wasn't any technology.
There's so many great films on YouTube. Have you seen the one where the gloomy goth girl just reviews Garden State for 3 minutes in her bedroom? And then a cat jumps into the sink.
That's incredible. That was amazing. That
half
cat
of
got
YouTube
an
is cats leaping into sinks.
And I'm thankful for it.
One of my favourite YouTube's thing is the cat doing a poo in a human's toilet. And then you think, that's brilliant. That's so funny. And then as he goes to jump off, he falls into the toilet.
That's a double whammy.
Yeah, haven't caught up to us yet.
My favourite is
you can't write that.
Cat attacks baby. That's a great one.
Who's going next, Ed?
Hi, Leon. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys going?
Excellent. Hey, Leon.
I was at the screening last night, actually. Thought the movie was awesome.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
And I saw like the cameo appearances from like Bill Bailey and like Stephen Merchant. With that sort of thing, do they ask you for that or do you ask them on?
Well, we kind of wanted to work with Bill anyway and Stephen just because, you know, they're great and you want to fill the film with great people and it's less about sort of cameos, more about just making sure every role is filled with someone who's really good. And both Bill and Stephen are great. So there are a couple of actual cameos in the film. There's two Oscar-winning people in the film who aren't credited, which is fun to look out for. Yeah, there's a cameo in the opening sequence by a certain Oscar-winning director and an A-list Hollywood actress who plays my ex-girlfriend. We're not going to name. Oh, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't.
The face is not seen.
You can't see her face because she's playing a CSI. But
here's my token comedy nerd question for the hour. You were in a great series which has never been shown here, never come out on DVD, called Is It Bill Bailey?
Which was directed by Edgar Wright.
Right.
Yeah, who directed Hot Fuzz.
Is any sign of that one coming out? Or?
You know, it's a weird thing. It was made by BBC Scotland and the political wrangles of getting out on. I think Bill is trying to release it on DVD himself because it's a very funny show.
Yes.
And I just helped out with a couple of sketches on the show. But yeah, that was directed by Edgar. So it should really be out on DVD.
Mm. All right, next. We've got time for one more.
Genevieve, how are you?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Genevieve. Finally, a lady.
I was there last night.
Oh, did you enjoy?
Yes. I'm Dolphin from Spaced Out.
There you go. Oh, yes, we met you. You're Dolphin, right?
Yes.
Nice that's to see. Right. Sorry we couldn't come out afterwards. We were having to sort of press the flesh a little bit, but
that's all right. Well, the offer's still open for the members to buy you a drink if you're going to be sticking around.
We got to go home today.
We're going home today.
We're flying out. We're going back to England.
Maybe
and your question, Genevieve,
my
or
question
Dolphin
is: are you guys going to do any more TV at all, or are you just going to stick to films now?
I think. Probably the films, just because TV feels TV is hard and it's brilliant and it's worthy and I'd never say never do it again. But there's something about films that feels a little bit more permanent than television. Television is very transient. You work really hard and then it's on and then it's gone. You know, obviously with DVD now that's changing a little bit, but it feels when you're doing films that you're making something which is kind of a bit more has a bit more longevity, if you know what I mean. So I think we're going to try and concentrate on that. But having said that, you can see me in the new series of Space Down Under.
And what you were saying about the permanence of film, that I'm sure is what the mantra was for Steven Seagal on every day of Half Past Dead.
Half Past Dead and the sequel Five to Injured.
So many more questions. We'll get to them all next.
Thanks, Genevieve.
Thank you, Snow Patrol. Hands open here at Triple M. It's Get This Around the Nation. And we're taking questions for Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. Ed Cavalier is escorting Simon to the gents.
It's a little shady.
So why have they both gone?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ed's steering or something.
One hand washing the other. Here they come.
Come on.
Here they come.
Let's go straight to callers anyway. We've got Raymond on the line. You there, Raymond?
Your willy's
going. Yeah, how you going, guys?
Good. We're getting our act together. Right. What's your question?
Putting my thing away.
Mate, I just got a question. In Shaun of the Dead, you went to a pub called the Winchester.
Never seen it.
No?
the Winchester. Go on.
I just wanted to know, is that the actual pub you boys go to sink a few, or...?
It was based on a pub called the Shepherds, which we used to always go to. We called it the Winchester because the pub had to be named after a gun, so there could be a gun over the bar. But it was a pub on the Archway Road. It's now called the Boogaloo because the landlord and lady retired. But it was based on a real place, wasn't it?
Yeah, we sank a lot of pints there.
Yeah, so well, it's always good to know when someone wants to know the exact location where they might find you.
That's the place that Simon walked into the toilets and found me having a poo in one of the urinals.
Ah, next to a cat.
That's how I roll.
Who's next, Ed?
Hi, Richard, how are you?
Actually, Nick.
Sorry, Nick, how are you?
Hey, boys, how are you going?
Hey, hello, Nick. Mate.
I wanted to ask Simon about how was it working on the new series of Doctor Who as one of the bad guys?
It was fun. I kind of grew up watching Doctor Who a little bit, and so to be part of that whole universe was a bit of a joy. I had to bleach my eyebrows and beard, though, and that wasn't fun.
Yes, it was a bit white.
Yeah, I had to look like a frosty sort of villain type character. And yeah, but it was good, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Nick.
Hello. How villainous did you get? I mean, will you be in the pantheon with the the Cybermen?
I could kick a Dalek's backside, no problem. Easy.
What about the Yeti?
I couldn't do the Yeti. Yeah. He's hard as nails.
Bear with a silver ball inside it.
That's it.
If you remember, that was the Yeti.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard anyone say.
Which is actually the name of my new album, which is out now.
A bear with a silver ball inside it.
Who's next?
Hi, Richard.
Hi, guys. How are you travelling?
Hello, mate. Not bad.
Oh, that's great. Just a quick one to Nick. Love your character as Mike on Space. Just,
thank you.
Just hilarious, hilarious. Very quick question to Simon. With your role on Mission Impossible 3, did you have to audition for that, or did Tom Cruise approach you? What happened there?
I was at work one day in my office in London, and J.J. Abrams, the director, phoned me. I got a call that he was on the line, and I was like, what? Got the director of Alias, and it was him. And he said, do you want to be in Mission Impossible 3? And I said, yeah, okay. And that's how it happened. In fact, I couldn't do it originally. It clashed with my honeymoon, and I had to turn it down. And I got back and said to email JJ and said, look, sorry, this didn't work out. Maybe we can work together in the future. And he said, well, look, there's another part that you can play if you'd like. And I sort of said, okay. And then I was over in LA and working with Tom Cruise and Ving Rhames. It was very strange and but very fun.
Very surreal, I guess.
Yeah, it was extremely surreal. It was like I felt I was sitting in my own head. Looking out of my eyes, thinking, how the hell did I get here?
Like a bear with a silver ball inside it. I don't know if anyone knows, but the actor Nick Frost is also in the studio. If anyone wants to ask him a question.
Nick question
done quite
in.
A lot. Done quite a lot of work myself.
Hello, Ashley. Yeah. Ashley, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks. I've got a question for Nick.
Yes. I'm not answering it. I'm tired. I want a sandwich.
He's in the corner pouting.
I was a nerd who dressed up as Sean last night.
Hello.
As far as writing, that's it.
Yes.
From the forum, cheers. As far as writing and acting go, you said last night that you were writing something with Simon.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather write or act? Which you prefer?
I like doing both. Acting's great because it's, you know, that's the job I do. But when Simon and I write together, it's always that we get in quite late and then we look at the computer for a bit and then
go on the net.
And then before you know it, it's lunch, so then we'll have lunch, then we'll come back and we'll look at each other and say, we might as well do a bit of work.
Yeah.
And then we'll do 2 hours of work and one of us will say, I got to chip off early. And then that's it. It's
that's pretty much what it's like with Salman Rushdie too. Yeah. So much YouTube to get through.
Sometimes we'll get in and we'll write a joke quite early, which is so good, we'll then go at the pictures all day.
But writing v acting, I mean, writing's all very well, but you can't leap through the air firing two guns at once.
Yeah. No, you can't. Yeah. No, but when you write, you pay the price as a writer because you have to spend time in an office, you know, sort of getting it ready. But the dividends, what's the word, the kind of
dividends will do,
yeah, it means that you can go and you do your own thing and you're part of the whole process, so you do, you know, you don't act as much as you could if you were just an actor, but it is better.
It's quite good in the office. We've got a young lad called Alex who does a lot of great work, but he will be sitting there and we'll kind of need a map of Uganda and we'll say, Alex, go and get us a map of Uganda. And he'll run out and come back with
and draw you one.
Yeah.
We call him Malix because there are two Alexes in our office. One's a female and one's a male. So there's Falix and Alex.
We must get our own cartographer in the studio, Ed. Yeah.
Get me a geodetic survey map of Wyoming, of St Kilda.
Have we got time for one more?
Let's do it.
Jared,
how are you there, Jared?
Yes, I am. How
Lito,
are you doing?
Your Hi. Question, sir.
Well, first of all, Ed, how are you liking Yacht Rock? You watching that?
Yacht Rock, dude, I can't dig it. I'm not digging kind of like pale lemon open neck polo shirts with beards.
Dear.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're watching too many cats taking dumps.
Well, I am who I am.
Nick, I'm a big fan of your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And saw the film on the weekend, which is pretty bad for someone that's just graduated from film school, but I know none of the films you were referencing. The girl next to me knew them all, so she's whispering to me all the references, but I still got it. It was great fun.
Good.
But listen, I was just interested because I'm obsessed with you guys and obsessed with the whole group of you in the UK that I'm sort of calling the sort of new wave of British comedy. I know it's so wanky. I'm such a nerd. I'm about to start dropping all these names of shows.
Hang on. We only have a limited time slot.
Go, Jared, go.
I know, there's 5 minutes left.
Your question.
But I'm just wondering, where do you think it started from? It seems to be that there was a performance-based aesthetic of this very naturalistic
hail and pace, surely. Surely all roads go back to...
They didn't oversell a single gag.
I think that kicked off with the day-to-day... it's kicked off with Python, really. Python used to do their news footage very straight-faced, even though their ideas were crazy.
Yep.
And then there was, in 94, Chris Morris and Steve Coogan, and among others, sort of did a news spoof show called The Day Today, which was amazing. And then Big Train was a result of that, and then The Office kind of followed that, and... that sort of naturalistic style of comedy. But then there's all offshoots like The League of Gentlemen, and obviously Matt and Dave are doing something far more sort of pantomimic and grotesque.
You could probably even go back to the Young Ones, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even that, you know, from The Young Ones and from the kind of birth of alternative comedy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can say that it's that far back.
We did get The Young Ones, most of those other shows, no, but every series of Birds of a Feather.
Oh, yeah.
We have so many more people on the line. I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody. We'll be back to wind up the show in just a moment.
Sorry, everyone.
Alex Lloyd, it is amazing that we've managed to convince Nick Frost and Simon Pegg to stick with us for the whole hour. Thanks for coming in, guys.
It's been a blast. It's been great.
Time for us to sign off. Hot Fuzz opens tomorrow all across Australia. If you're one of these people who thinks there isn't enough firepower in the bill, you're going to love this movie.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have some fun. 18.5 million so far in the UK. Help us get to 40.
And we've been waffling on about a show called Space. Maybe you didn't see it. And is it out here on DVD?
You can get it on Amazon, but you need to get a region-free player. But it's worth it, guys. Get Space.
It's worth it. Get Space too. We need the money. I need to buy a new wife.
It's all in a good cause. Thanks for coming in, guys. Check out the film tomorrow, everybody. And our key phrase today apparently was simply cornetto. And we'll be back tomorrow with Ben Lawson. And it's all thanks to, as yet, nobody.